Open your Bibles, if you would, to Exodus chapter 23. Exodus chapter 23, we're going to see a portion of Scripture tonight that might not be as familiar as some of the other ones we've highlighted from Exodus, so I'm excited about that. I know a lot of you have studied the Bible for a long time. Others of you have not been studying it seriously for very long, and I'm always amazed at it doesn't matter how many times I read a passage, it doesn't matter how many times I've studied it, the Lord seems to always show me something I didn't see before. That's probably just because I don't pay attention as I should, but it's still awesome that he is gracious to show us things. And so we're in Exodus 23. We're trying to see scriptures that are concerning Christ, and we're going to pick up here right at verse 20. So in Exodus 23, the Lord is giving different laws. He's giving different ordinances to the people. And then we come to verse 20, and he's going to give the people of Israel some promises. So laws, principles that they needed to live by, and then promises that he was going to be with them to help them do so. Amen. He's got some similar things for us, doesn't he? Amen. Christ gave his commandments, but then he said, I'm with you always, and he's going to be with us to help us through his Spirit. So the Lord has worked with his people in very similar ways throughout Scripture, and praise God that he's given us his Spirit today. Amen. So let's pray together one more time, and then we'll get into the Word. Heavenly Father, as we come before your throne of grace again, Lord, our hearts are full. They're full both of joy for your blessings and for answered prayers. They're also full of concern for our nation and for things going on in our world and in our lives. And Lord, we just pray that you'll work all that out. We know that you work all things together for good to those who love you, to those who have been called according to your purposes. And Father, we pray that anyone hearing the message tonight who's never been born again, that they would hear and believe the gospel, that they would answer the call to repentance and faith. They would answer the call to salvation. And Lord, that you'd help all of us to love you and walk with you, to see you at work in our lives, working all things together. We know not everything in our lives is going to be good, but we know you'll work it out for good, and we praise you. Lord, I just pray that you'll speak to us through your word tonight. Teach us and guide us. And Lord, I pray that we would see Jesus in the scriptures today, and that you would help us to know you better from our time together, and that you would encourage and equip us, energize us to go and live for you because you died for us and rose again. We ask it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Verse 20. Behold, I send an angel before thee to keep thee in the way and to bring thee into the place which I have prepared. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, for he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. But if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies, and an adversary unto thine adversaries, for mine angel shall go before thee, and bring thee in unto the Amorites, and the Hittites, and the Perizzites, and the Canaanites, and the Hivites, and the Jebusites, and I will cut them off. All right, stop right there. And I want you to just consider with me for a moment the possibility that this angel isn't just any other angel, but this angel very well may in fact be the angel of the Lord. In other words, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Now, a lot of people believe that this angel is not the Lord, or a theophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ, or a Christophany, a pre-Bethlehem appearance of Christ. A lot of people think this is just an angel, not just any angel, but an angel that God set aside and tasked specifically for leading the nation of Israel. And that might be true. You can study that out for yourself. I personally am persuaded that this isn't an ordinary angel, not an ordinary messenger of God, but I believe this is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. And so I'm going to present that this tonight in the lesson. And so you study it out. Maybe you'll disagree with me. Believe it or not, people disagree with me all the time. Thanks, guys. I mean, I tried to help you out, give you a chance to amen that. And I usually say the same thing. It's okay. You have the right to be wrong. And that's a joke, because I know that I'm wrong a lot of times. I try to study the scriptures, and I've told people this a lot, especially the last 5 or 6 years. You know, the more I study the Bible, the less I know. There are things that I believe stronger than ever, that God has increased my understanding. He's increased my knowledge. He's increased my faith in certain things. There are a lot of things that I used to know that I just don't know anymore. But, you know, it was always said, I think it was Brother Rick Adams used to always tell us, if you ever want to know something, ask a first-year seminary student. They know everything. You know, those young guys, I was talking to Brother Steve Spires, my brother-in-law, my mentor, my pastor, before I went out into the ministry. And I mean, I've apologized to him many times over the years because I was his associate pastor for a while. And man, I knew everything there was about pastoring a church before I became a pastor. Amen. Yeah, it's easy. It's easy to drive from the back seat. It's easy to quarterback from your armchair. It's easy to think that you know things until you're out there and you're the one. So, what's my point? There's a lot I don't know. There's a lot I'm not 100% sure on. I personally am persuaded that this text is speaking of the Lord Jesus Christ, but you don't have to take my word for it. You can study it out for yourself. All right, verse 20. This angel will keep you and bring you into the prepared place. This angel that the Lord was going to send would keep the people of Israel, and he would bring them into the promised place that he prepared. Amen. Now, whether this is an angel or the Lord Jesus Christ himself, it certainly foreshadows Jesus, doesn't it? Amen. You guys might be reminded, like I was, of John 14. John chapter 14 and verse 1. You guys are real familiar with these verses? The Lord says, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. This angel, God was going to send to lead them into a place that he had prepared. And the Lord tells his disciples, I have prepared a place for you, and I will get you and bring you into that place. Isn't that awesome? This angel was going to take them and lead them. Jesus would also say later in Matthew 25 and verse 34, Matthew 25, 34, then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. And I'm here to tell you that God was preparing the promised land that we would call the promised land, Canaan land, that land of Israel. God had promised that land to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, and he was going to bring the people into that land. He prepared it, and he was going to lead them into the way. We know that Israel, the nation, Israel, the people, Israel, the physical nation, the physical kingdom, is a picture or a type of the spiritual Israel. Amen. We know that. We know that not everyone that was a descendant of Abraham was actually part of Israel. Being circumcised in the flesh didn't make you part of the real Israel, but being circumcised of the heart. It was by faith that you were really part of that spiritual Israel. And what God would do with them physically was a type of what he would do with us spiritually. He said, I'm going to send this angel. He's going to keep you in the way. Even though it would go through the wilderness, the angel would keep them in the way. Even though it would go through enemy territory, this angel would keep them in the way. He was going to be the one that would sustain them. He was going to be the one that would protect them. He would be the one to provide for them. He would keep them, and he would bring them into the place that he had prepared. He would bring them. So Christ has prepared a place for his followers. He will keep them, and he will bring them into that place. Look at verse 21. Not only will he keep you and bring you into a prepared place, but he is an angel to be feared and obeyed. Amen. Beware of him and obey his voice. Provoke him not, For he will not pardon your transgressions, for my name is in him. This angel is to be feared, God says. This angel is to be obeyed, God says. Beware of him. That means that this angel was going to have power. This angel was going to have might. This angel was going to have ability that was to be feared. And I believe the scripture teaches us that we are to fear God only. Not supposed to fear anybody else. Not supposed to fear what man can do unto us. Not supposed to fear the angels of God because they have no power except God gives it. We're to fear God alone. Amen. Fear God. This angel is to be obeyed. He says, obey his voice. Would you look at Matthew 17 and verse 5 real quick? Matthew 17 and verse 5. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. What's it say? Hear ye him. The Lord would say to Israel, I'm going to send my angel, and I want you to hear him. I want you to obey him. And it's the same thing that the Father says to his disciples in the New Testament. This is my Son. I want you to hear him, and I want you to obey him. This angel had power. This angel had authority. This angel was to be feared, and he was not to be provoked. Do not provoke him. He's going to guide you. He's going to lead you. He's going to watch over you, but he's also going to command you, and you need to obey him. You need to fear him, and you want to be careful not to provoke him. Don't provoke the Son, lest he be angry. Don't provoke the Son, lest he be angry. I believe that we ought to trust in Jesus. Amen. I believe that we ought to know Jesus. I believe that we ought to fear Jesus. Amen. I believe we ought to follow Jesus. I believe there are millions of people around the globe who believe in Jesus, who are trying to follow Jesus. I also believe there are millions of Christians in the world today who don't really know Jesus. Amen. And the Jesus they're following is not the Jesus of the scriptures. Amen. And guys, we're not special. We're in danger of the same trouble if we are not in the Word so that we can know him. Amen. You can't get your, let me say it like this. You can't get your knowledge of Jesus, who he is, from a country song and know the biblical Jesus. You can't do it. Am I saying everything every country song ever said about Jesus was wrong? No, I'm not saying that. But I'm saying he's given you his whole word, the whole Bible, so you can know him. And we ought to know him. Amen. We ought to know him. We can't just know what someone else says about him. How many of you grew up at a time old enough to draw water out of a well? Can I see your hands? I said, how are you old enough? You're an anomaly. So most of the people who raise their hands are senior saints. Isn't that the nice way to say that? I grew up in a time when to get water, you just had to walk into the room and turn on a faucet. Isn't that awesome? As a matter of fact, I grew up in a time where you could walk to the refrigerator. It had a freezer and a refrigerator, and you could put your cup up there and get ice and water out of it. Isn't that fancy? I mean, it was like the Jetsons, man. But some of you grew up at a time where it was different than that. You had to go outside to another building to use the bathroom. Amen. And you had to go outside to another place to draw your water, and I hope those two places were far apart. Amen. But you would have to go to the well, and you would have to lower down a bucket or some device, and you would have to bring it up, and you would have to carry the water. And a lot of you grew up when you were younger, your mom or your dad would go to the well, and they would draw water, and you would drink from the well that they had drawn from. Amen. But at some point in your life, you got old enough to go to the well and draw the water yourself. You guys with me? Sooner or later, you're going to have to drink from the well on your own. You're going to have to learn how to go to the scriptures and pray and study and seek God's face and drink from the water yourself. Amen. Can't drink from the water from the bucket mama and daddy draw forever. You can't drink from the bucket that your pastor draws for you alone. You have to learn to draw water yourself. Amen. We want to know him. You can't obey his voice. Listen, you can't obey his voice if you don't know his voice. Amen. Let me just ask you this. Have you ever wondered sometimes whether you're praying about something, you're trying to figure out what God wants you to do, and you can't tell whether it's your thoughts in your head or the Spirit of God leading you? Anybody ever wrestle with that? Well, I know what I want to do. I just can't tell. Is this what God wants me to do, or is it just what I want to do? You know that you can grow to a place where you can tell the difference? Amen. Did you know that you can study and you can pray and you can seek God's face to where you start to recognize his voice as distinct from other voices? That's something no one else can do for you. You have to learn to look to God yourself. And can I just say this? That's not easy. Amen. That's going to take a little more. That's going to take a little more Bible study. That's going to take a little deeper digging. That's going to take a little more time on your knees. Amen. Everybody still with me? Too many Christians in America today apply the Oprah method to their Bible study. You guys know what the Oprah method is? Open, point, read, and apply. Oprah, you guys with me at all right now? It's an acronym. I mean, seriously, some of you guys are facing some big decisions. Some young man in the room is like, should I marry that girl? Oh, no, I don't like that one. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen your heart. All ye that hope in the Lord. Oh, I guess I should marry her. We need to learn how to get on our faces and seek God's face to hear his voice. You can't obey him if you don't know him. You can't obey him if you don't know his voice. Don't provoke him to wrath. It says here in our text that he will not pardon your transgressions. Now, when I read that, I know some of you are like, he's saying this is Jesus, but Jesus does pardon our transgressions, so I don't know how to deal with that. Let me give you a couple of thoughts. Do you guys remember what happened in Matthew chapter 9? You're like, oh yeah, right off the top of my head. Let me quote it for you. It's open book. You can look at it. Matthew chapter 9. See if it rings a bell if you look at verse 2. They brought to him a man sick of palsy, lying on a bed, and Jesus, seeing their faith, said unto the sick of the palsy, son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. You remember that? You remember how the ones that were there, certain scribes said within themselves, no man can forgive sins, God only. Amen. No one can forgive sins but God. Right? And so the Lord says, well, what's easier? To say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? But so that you know that I have power to forgive sins, he says to the one that's sick of the palsy, get up and walk. You remember? The Lord demonstrated his ability to forgive sins, his power, his authority as God to forgive sins. Now, if you go back and read our text, it says he will not pardon your transgressions. That indicates that he has the ability to forgive transgressions. He has the ability to pardon. No angel could do that. It doesn't need to tell us the angel can't forgive somebody's transgressions because no angel can do that. God alone can do that. Amen. What does this mean? That none of them could be saved? No. It just meant that God was going to hold them to a standard. He was going to set before Israel in their lifetime a blessing and a cursing. If you obey my commandments, you will be blessed. And if you disobey my commandments, you're going to face the curses that come with disobeying my commandments. It doesn't mean that they couldn't be saved. It meant that they were going to have to face the consequences for their sin in real time. You might understand it a little better like this too. He beareth not with your transgression. In other words, he was not going to be long-suffering when it came to certain things. And he's going to lay that out here in the law. Okay? You guys are familiar with some of the things in the law, right? Can any of the dads tell me what happened to a kid who back-talked his daddy? Yeah, they could stone him. Bring him to the gates of the city, the elders of the people. And a child could be stoned to death for back-talking their mom or dad. Some of the parents are like, let's bring that back. Yeah, the only problem is none of you would be here if that was in effect when you were growing up.
Amen.
So this angel had the power, the authority. By the way, I love it. At the end of there in Matthew 9 and verse 8, it says, when the multitude saw it, they marveled and glorified God to have given such power unto men. And the very next verse is when the Lord goes to Matthew Levi and says, follow me. He demonstrates his power over sin, and he goes and he calls people to follow him. And we look at our text. We see God sending this angel to lead the people, and he says that he has great power. So beware of him. Obey his voice. Don't provoke him, because he won't bear with your transgressions, because my name is in him. Because my name is in him. And in verse 22, he says, if thou shalt indeed obey his voice and do all that I speak, then I will be an enemy unto thine enemies and an adversary unto thine adversaries. For mine angel shall go before thee and bring thee in. And he lists all the people of the nations that he would cast out. He warns them not to bow down to their gods or serve them. He admonishes them in verse 25 to serve the Lord your God, and he will bless your bread and your water and will take your sickness away, and nothing will cast their young or be barren in the land. He will bless. So he promises them protection in the rest of this chapter, and he promises them provision. And I want you to get two things before we close tonight. Number one, he promises protection that he would do effectually by his power. Who was going to bring Israel into the promised land? Was it going to be Joshua? Was it going to be the armies of Israel? Or was it going to be the Lord? Who's going to give you victory in your life? Is it going to be you? Is it going to be your spouse? Is it going to be your children? Is it going to be your pastor? Is it going to be the federal government? God alone will give you victory in this life and the next. He's going to do it by his power. You can't do it in your own strength, and no one else can do it for you. It has to be God. And God says, I'm going to send my angel. He is going to keep you. He is going to bring you in. And God sent his only son. And when you trust in him, you become his. And he will keep you. And he will bring you into the place he's prepared for you. Not only would he do it effectually by his power, but notice this, he would do it gradually by his providence. Now, I'll let you read the rest of it on your own, but I want you to get this in verse 30. Verse 29. I will not drive them out from before thee in 1 year, lest the land become desolate and the beasts of the field multiply against thee. By little and little I will drive them out from before thee, until thou be increased and inherit the land. And I will set thy bounds from the Red Sea, even unto the sea of the Philistines, and from the desert unto the river. For I will deliver the inhabitants of the land into your hand, and thou shalt drive them out before thee. God said, not only will I do it by my power, but I'm going to do it gradually. Now, some of you might say, I don't really understand that. I mean, he promises them the land. He says he's going to defeat those nations. Why doesn't he just give it to them all at once? Because God's smarter than we are. God knew that they weren't powerful enough. They weren't increased enough. There weren't enough of them to fill the land and to take care of the land. And God says, if I take them out all at once, the wild beast of the area will be too great. It'll be a wild place. Things will be overgrown. And all the stuff that I've prepared for you to inherit won't be any good for you anymore. It's better for you if I bring you in gradually, if I bring you in little by little. There's a whole lot that could be said about this, but I want to read to you what Matthew Henry said about it because it was really good and blessed my heart. He says, "The wisdom of God is to be observed in the gradual advances of the church's interest. It is in real kindness to the church that its enemies are subdued by little and little. For thus we are kept upon our guard and in a continual dependence upon God." If God eliminates all of our enemies and adversaries all at once, what happens? We get lazy. We get complacent. We let down our guard. And listen, the last enemy hasn't been defeated yet. We've still got a spiritual war to fight. He goes on, "Corruptions are thus driven out of the hearts of God's people, not all at once, but by little and little. The old man is crucified and therefore dies slowly." You know, I never thought about that. It's amazing how many times you can study and think about. One of my favorite verses in the Bible is Galatians 2:20. "I am crucified with Christ." I always thought about that, how you could take up your cross and how that meant that you die. But I never thought about the fact until I read that quote that when you're crucified, the reason they crucified people was to give them a slow, excruciating death. Now listen, your old man is dead and you're to walk in newness of life, but we also understand not only are we saved, but we are being sanctified. Amen. And that's a lifelong process. And God is little by little crucifying the old man. Little by little, that old man is slowly dying and the new man is coming to the forefront in your life as a Christian. Can you see that? Okay. Some of you, when you first saved, some of you haven't been saved that long. 5 years ago, 10 years ago. Some of you longer, 15, 20, 30, 40 years ago. However long it's been, God killed some things that you struggled with in your life back then. He took those away from your life and he put his goodness and righteousness in its place. He put off the old man and he put new inside of you. Is that true? Are you the same today as you were right after you were saved? Or are you changed? Is God changing you? Is he sanctifying you? Well, you ought to be changing. And isn't it amazing that he's still doing that work? I think I've been saved for 30 years. Sometimes I get the math wrong. And I can promise you I'm not the same Christian today as I was then. But I'm not the same Christian I was 2 years ago as I am today. God is still working in my life. He's still working. And you see this picture of how he would take them in and they would face these enemies that were too strong for them. And God would deliver them. And little by little, they would take the land. Little by little, they would conquer their enemies. Little by little, God would move out those pagans. He would move out that wickedness. He would move out that darkness. He would move out that evil that was in those places. And he would put his truth. He would put his light. He would put his life. He would put his word. He would put his people in those places. And he's doing that in our lives today. Little by little, we conquer our enemy. God in his providence often delays mercies because we are not ready for them. Canaan has room enough to receive Israel, but Israel is not numerous enough to occupy Canaan. We are not straitened in God. If we are straitened, it is in ourselves. And so he says, I'm going to protect you. I'm going to provide protection for you. And then he's going to provide provision for them. He's going to give them everything they need and bless them. But he says, I want you to be careful. Back in verse 24, he says, thou shalt not bow down to their gods nor serve them, nor do after their works, but thou shalt utterly overthrow them and quite break down their images, and ye shall serve the Lord your God. You know, we still face the temptation of idolatry today. to love, value, serve, or fear other things more than God. And what we need to do is put those things away. Those that would be kept from bad courses must keep from bad company. We need to be careful who our influences are in our lives. And he says, when I send you into that land, you're to conquer the land, not keep company with the people of the land. God has sent us forth to conquer as a church. He sent us forth to carry the banner of Christ high and preach the gospel, to take the light into the darkness, to face the enemy. And he'll give us victory, but we have to follow him. We have to follow him. He will keep us and bring us into that prepared place, but we have to follow him. I'm going to ask you to stand with me tonight, our musicians to come. It'll be fun to hear from some of you who'll come and say, you know, I don't really think that's the Lord. I think that's just another angel, and that's fine. But even if you don't agree with that assessment, that's okay. I hope you still see Jesus. Because here it is at the end of the day, friends. Even if this angel specifically wasn't the Lord, he was still sent by the Lord. He was still used by the Lord, and he still would accomplish the purposes of the Lord. And we're never going to get credit for what God's doing in our lives. It's always going to be by his grace. It's always going to be by his mercy. It's always going to be by his power, by his protection, and his provision that we have the victory now and forever. Amen.